This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
We'll be looking at Psalm 19, and we'll read the entire chapter. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing like a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the end of it, and there is nothing hidden from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is the word of God.
So I encourage you, please, to open up to Psalm 19 if you'd like to follow along. We will jump around a little bit, but Psalm 19 is where we're going to be parked for a few sermons. There'll be others kind of sprinkled in between. There was a day when I was working on a property and I was clearing some old fencing off of the property. And the fence post that I was trying to remove, it had all weeds, kind of old grass, in between the fence post and the fencing in between. And in front of this particular fence post were these cinder blocks. And these cinder blocks were kind of stuck there, and the grass had overgrown on the cinder blocks. And I had to remove the cinder blocks out of the way in order to get to the fence post. And so what I did is I stepped up to the cinder block there, and I bent down and I picked up the cinder block. And what I saw amazed me. It actually scared me at first. When I picked up that cinder block, I saw underneath that cinder block, are you all waiting for it? I saw, to my amazement, ants. Wow! And not just a couple of ants. Not just a colony of ants. I mean thousands and thousands and thousands of little ants that were under that cinder block, and they were scurrying like none other. It reminded me, the view of the ants reminded me, if you know the old tube TVs, you know, remember the day of the old tube TVs, and when you lost signal, the screen went into this fizzly black and white mode. That's what it looked like. These red ants were just, there were thousands of them scurrying all around, and I saw they were on my shoes and they were climbing all over, and I freaked out. And I backed up and I threw the cinder block and watched as these ants scurried all around. And when I got to thinking about that experience, I thought, there's a sermon illustration here. And I've applied it in so many different ways. So you might hear it if you stay here long enough. You'll probably hear it several times applied in several different ways. But here it is. God wants to reveal himself to us. Amen? God created this world. He created us. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to have a relationship with us. But if God were to reveal himself in all of his magnificence, in all of his glory, in all of his vastness, in all of his brilliance, in all of his immortality and wonder and eternality, if he were just to expose himself in all of his fullness, it would be like lifting up the cinder block, and we would be so overwhelmed, we would be just scurrying frantically, just in total fear, and just it would just completely obliterate us. So God knows that to reveal himself to us, he has to do it in measures. He has to do it in degrees. You see, so many people are asking, why doesn't God just appear to us? I'm like, you don't want that, okay? You don't want to answer that request. God has to reveal himself to us in ways that we can understand, in ways that we can take in. And God does this in many different ways. You see, when God reveals himself to us, sinful human beings tend to recoil, kind of like the ants. And we tend to be afraid, and we tend to be uncomfortable, and we tend to scurry away. I think that is a big reason why people feel uncomfortable when you bring up the topic of God when you're talking with them. Because in bringing up God, by any measure, it is like the person is being exposed to something that they're not familiar with. You see, we are familiar with our little cinder block. It's comfortable. We've got everybody else around us to make us feel happy. It's safe. It's secure. But when God steps in, it's like this brilliant light comes in, and we don't know what to do with ourselves. And a lot of times, the immediate reaction with sinful man is that we feel guilty because we realize that we are in the presence of something holy, and we ourselves are not. The Bible talks about how Jesus came as a light into the darkness, and men didn't come to the light because it showed that their deeds were evil. I don't have the reference in front of me here, but you know what I'm talking about. That's the case with sinful man. But what if we could believe and understand that when God does reveal himself to us, it is because he wants to help us. It is because he wants to guide us. It is because he wants to have a relationship with us rather than squashing us into smithereens. What if we could be convinced as ants being exposed to this giant thing that just showed himself to us, that this being actually wants to help us thrive as a colony and wants to be the one to lead us? Then that recoil and that fear might turn into a wonder and a reverence. And maybe the reaction to run away might stop and have us say, okay, what do I need to do then if this being wants to have a relationship? So many people avoid God. They'll talk about God on their own terms. They might point to religious participation in some way, but when you get to talking to a real, day-to-day, personal relationship with the living God of the Bible, people feel uncomfortable with that. And the reason is because they're not used to being near the real, one true God. When you read in the Bible, people being confronted with God by any measure of his glory, there's always a sense of ants scurrying. There's always a sense of humility. In fact, we all know the example of Isaiah. If you want to turn there in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah, who is a man of God, comes into the presence of the glory of God, And in Isaiah chapter 6, we see this scene where Isaiah is before the Lord, sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, and each one had six wings, and two covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out. The whole house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah scurrying, he saw the brilliance of God, and he says in verse 5, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King Yahweh of hosts, the Lord of hosts." It's something about when God reveals himself. But it's good for God to reveal himself because he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And so, when we as believers are thinking about our relationship with God, we have to understand God is going to reveal himself. But what that's going to do, and what you're going to realize through Psalm 19, is that when God reveals himself to us, it immediately has us ask the question, where am I? How am I? How's my relationship with this being? What needs to change? What does God need to do? So the title of this message is How Revelation Produces Reflection. Because when you look at Psalm 19, and you just read it, we heard Brother Todd read it for us. At first glance, and I thought this when I first read Psalm 19, at first glance, it kind of seems disjointed. It seems like you have three different things just going on, disconnected from each other. The first six verses talk about God and his works in creation. How he created the heavens and the earth, and he created the sun, and look at the sun go through the sky. And then in verse 7, it just shifts. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And verses 7 to 11 talk about the Word of God, the Old Testament law, the Bible, if you will. And you're like, why the shift? What's going on here? And then it shifts again in verse 12. All of a sudden, David, as he writes a psalm, it says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression." What's going on here? I thought we were talking about the Bible. I thought we were talking about creation. Now we're talking about looking at my sins inside. Why? And then verse 14, "Oh, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So at first glance, you think Psalm 19 is kind of disjointed. But as you read it through, you see there's this revelation of God, reflection of man. Revelation of God, reflection of man. And all that is to build a relationship. What we'll see in Psalm 19 is that God is going to reveal himself so that we can reflect on our own life, so that we have a restored relationship with him. Let's start with the revelation of God to us. It starts out in the beginning of the psalm with creation, the first six verses. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." My 1984 NIV says, "And the skies proclaim the work of his hands." What we see here is that God is revealing himself through his creation. And he does this in a few ways in these verses. In verses 1 to 2, he talks about the skies. In verses 3 to 4a, he talks about the sound of creation. And in verses 4 to 6, he talks about the sun of creation. The skies, the sounds, the sun, all revealing God through his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Well, what does it mean by the heavens? When we hear the word heaven, we tend to think of heaven, where we go when we die. But as Brother Todd mentioned in Sunday school, heaven is used in different ways in the Bible. Heaven can refer to the immediate sky, that is the atmosphere, which would include the clouds and the rain and all that's going on up there that we can see immediately. Heavens can also refer to the outer space of the stars and the planets and the galaxies is the second heaven, if you will. And then Paul mentions this third heaven, which would be the place outside of this creation where God dwells. So which heaven is David referring to? Well, he's referring to the heavens that we can see because the heavens declare the glory of God. We can see it. And then it continues, the firmament, that is the expanse of the sky, the atmosphere, it's another way of saying, shows his handiwork. So whether it's the outer space heavens or whether it's the clouds in the sky, it does not matter what you see when you go outside and you look up. Something's going on there. Well, what's going on there? It's saying that these things declare the glory of God. Declare the glory of God. They're doing something. God created these things to do something. That word declare, it's not just like I'm standing here declaring something. It's a technical word. It means more like writing down like an official declaration. Like a leader would step forward and say, on this day and this time, I declare this. And as if the skies, the expanse of what we can see up above and all around is making an official statement. Well, what are they saying? The glory of God. God is revealing himself to us through his creation. And it does limit it to the skies above, but it obviously can include everything which God has made. Everything which is the work of his hands. The firmament shows his handiwork. What David is saying is that when you look at the creation around you, it, that is the creation, is declaring to you God and his glory. It is revealing to you its creator. Yesterday, I was at the high school to give a little talk at the memorial service, and as I was walking in on the side of the wall of the school, I had noticed them, but I'd never taken the time to look. There are these relief carvings. Probably know what I'm talking about if you've been there. These relief carvings of different scenes. And as I walked by one of them, it was this elaborate carving, and next to it was a little plaque. And on the plaque had a reference to who the artist was that made the relief carving. Now, it would be a ridiculous statement for me to walk by this carving, even with the plaque, and look at it and think, that's interesting. What about that God there? I wonder where that came from. It would be absurd. I can plainly see from the relief carving that somebody made that. There was something about it that immediately spoke to me of somebody's handiwork. And thankfully, it was told to me right there what it was. And yet, for some reason, the human race can look back at the handiwork of the creation around us. And we look at the way that the earth revolves around the sun in such a perfect format to sustain life. And we look at the way that the cycle of the rains go through to give us the food that we can eat. And we look at the way that what we exhale is what the trees inhale, and what the trees exhale is what we inhale. And we look at all this order and all this beauty and all this wonder, and people say, I wonder where that came from. And yet, all this creation is screaming something. Now, this is where David elaborates on that. In verses 3 to 4, he says, in verse 2, day unto day, these things utter speech. Night unto night, they reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. These are the sounds of revelation. You see, God's creation, it's not just like, it's just saying something, and we better listen. The words utter in verse 2, it's so much more than just a simple speech. Day unto day utters speech. That word utters is used to describe a bubbling brook. It's just bursting forth. I worked a job once where the homeowner didn't have a well. It was out in the country. Where'd they get their water? They had a stream that came out of a rock down below on the hillside. And they had a house around the stream with a pool that collected the stream water and a pump that brought it up to the house. They said they never had an issue. There were times when there were droughts and other farms, their wells were dry. They never had, they always had water coming out of that stream. And I went down in that house and I looked and there was just this bubbling brook coming out of the rock. And it's like you look at the creation around you and there's a bubbling brook of it declaring the glory and brilliance and majesty and work of God. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night, every day you see it, every night you see it when you look. Now look at this in verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. You know what that means? That means that God has revealed himself through his creation and everyone has heard. Everyone has heard. There is not a human being on this planet that has not heard the voice of God's creation saying, God made this. Paul elaborates this in Romans chapter 1. You're very familiar with this verse. He's talking about we humans, though we be sinful, we have no excuse. We have no excuse because God has made it very clear that he exists. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It's been revealed. The things of God have been revealed. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. How? Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. If you believe this book to be the true, inerrant, inspired, infallible word of God, that means there is not a human being who exists who could not say there is a God because of this creation. And somebody steps in and they say, well, you know, science explains it all. And I think to myself, explains what? I've thought about this many of times when people come in and they say, oh, the Bible, you know, we're better now. We know science. And I think anytime I learn about how something in God's creation works through science, it just points to a creator even more. Because instead of having to rely on some superstition that people think that we're relying on, what I'm relying on is God's creation to show God's creation. And as I think about the sun being a brilliant, wonderful star in the sky, it points to God's creation. When I think about the idea of the heat ball that's so many miles away and the atoms that are being involved creating this light, does it disprove God created it? No, it just further proves it. You look at a beautiful sunset and you think that is beautiful, it brings wonder, it should. People come in and they say, oh, that's because, you know, the earth is turning the sun and the reflection in the atmosphere causes these colors on the clouds. And I think, amen. That's God who does that. The Bible says God set a rainbow in the sky after it rains. And people come in and they say, oh, that's the way, you know, after a rain, the water in the sky and the sun creates a reflection through the water, creates a spectrum of colors. I say, amen, glory to God. People saying, you know, we had an interesting storm not too long ago that was shaking the foundations of our houses. You know which one I'm talking about. Sandy Richards' neighbor had a lightning bolt strike right next to his yard. I mean, it blew the tree apart. Pretty fascinating. Shows the power of God, amen? Well, somebody steps in, they said, well, that's because, you know, the air pressures and it causes the electrons to kind of go into a certain format that causes this bolt to go. And I say, glory to God! The heavens declare the glory of God. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Everybody has heard the language. God has revealed himself to this world, to everyone, through his creation. You look at it, you see, this did not happen by itself. God's invisible attributes are seen. Now, I'm going to give an application about this a little bit later that has really shaped the way I approach ministry in a way. But you see here, the voice is being heard. Verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. It just further describes that there is every human being, whether you're a sophisticated person in Europe or whether you're in the tribal jungles of South America or wherever, everyone knows there is a God because there is a creation. There is a creator because there is a creation. Now, an example David gives, just one example of all the myriads that he could give in verse 4. In them, that is the heavens, he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and it rejoices like a strong man to run its course. It rises from one end of the heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Just one example of the sun. Now, it's not trying to say the world is flat and the sun is going around. It's trying to say when you look and you see the sun rise and the brilliance of that sun, it is like the brilliance of a bridegroom on the wedding day going to retrieve his bride. Or it is like the glory of a strong man in his athletic race running across the sky, and it's just this glorious created ball that gives us light and gives us heat. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Just one example. But you don't have to point to the stars and the sun. You can point to the grass, the blades of grass on the ground that we have to mow. You can look to the trees and the leaves that flutter through the wind. You can hear it when you get up early before the sunrise and there's that robin singing on the branch outside your window. You could see it when you go to the river to go fishing and all these little fish are swimming throughout the river. Everywhere are examples of all of God's creation saying, glory, glory, glory. Now let's look at a couple applications of this. Because my intention with this message was to continue and talk about the Word of God, but we're going to save that. God has created it, has revealed himself through his creation. What does that mean for us? Well, it means a couple of things when it comes to our witnessing to others. And it means something in our own walk with the Lord. Because revelation causes reflection. So we want to look at ourselves and say, okay, God, you have revealed yourself to me. Now, what does that mean for me? God's glory and revelation and creation has really shaped the way that I have been sharing the gospel. It really has shaped the way that I share the gospel because I have noticed there is something about bringing up the created glory of God and His creation to somebody who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who hasn't been in a church context, who doesn't know the Bible worldview. There's something about bringing up the revelation of God and creation that connects with people. And it's because they know. They can see. There's been many times, and I've done this repeatedly, where I'll be in the jail. I'll be sitting with people who may have no biblical foundation at all. And I immediately start talking with people about how God has created everything. I want to tell you what I believe, what the Bible teaches. It starts with God creating everything. Everything that you see around you is created by God. You look at the trees, it's created by God. You look at the way the birds sing. You look at the way the sun sets, it's so beautiful. And I'll go on this list of talking about all this beauty and glory that's around us. Now, mind you, there is stuff in the created order that's not beautiful. And there's a reason for it. Why do these natural disasters happen? Why is there so much torture and death in the natural world? There's an answer for it. But when you bring up the good of creation that is seen in what God has made, when He declared it good, there's something that connects with people. I remember one time I was sitting down with a group of women and I was talking about, let me just tell you what the Bible teaches. First, God created everything. And I was going through this list of God creating things, and the one young lady was sitting there. And as she was sitting to me, this listening to me talk about the beauty of creation, tears started to go down her eyes. And the friend next to her said to her, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" She said, "I'm fine." She said, "It's so beautiful." She said, "It's so beautiful." And I have found when sharing our faith, if we just take that cinder block off just a little bit by saying, "God has revealed Himself to you through everything around you that you see, the created order, the creation, it's there. Look." It's like they see a little bit of the light. And then you talk about how God wants to have a relationship with you because, yeah, oh, that's beautiful, but did you know He created you? And He created you. And you are a wonder in the glory of His creation. Compared to what they've been taught, that they're just thrown into this random existence with no significance at all. To know that somebody is made in the image of God with intrinsic value and worth. When you share the gospel with others, think about the fact that some people may not even understand that they are created being of God, created by God. The second way that God's revelation through creation can apply to us is this. I think it is good for us as Christians to form the discipline and the habit of listening to what God is saying through His creation to us. Now, I have to be careful with this, because what I'm not going to talk about is some sort of New Agey idea that you need to listen to the creation talk to you or something like that. What I'm saying is that God can be seen through His creation, and so if His creation is speaking about God to you, what is it saying? For example, I'll give you one good example, okay? Ready for this? There was one day I was at a property, and I had to clear some fence. And there was some grass wrapped around the fence post. And there was a cinder block there, and I had to remove the cinder block, and I picked the cinder block up, and there were ants. And the ants scurried all around when I picked up the cinder block. And you know something? God spoke to me through that experience. Can I find a Bible verse that I look up to and says, "And the cinder block, when it is raised, the ants will scurrieth"? I don't. But God can speak through His creation to us, not infallible, inspired, inerrant words of God, but messages of His creation and His power and His relationship with you. We're going to talk about the revelation of God in the Scriptures and the following verses. But what David is getting at is, everybody knows this, that creation is screaming about God. I'll give another example, one that you haven't heard. When I first became a Christian, I always loved to take walks. And I was my property where I lived, where I grew up, the property that bordered it was this undeveloped land, hundreds of acres of woods. I'd go for walks with my dog or by myself. When I became a Christian, I wanted to go for walks, but it was totally different. I was filled with joy and wonder as I looked at the world around me and the creation that God has made, and it all clicked, all this beauty that I had seen and known, and now it clicked. It was this God who created it. And I remember walking down the path, and there was this mockingbird in the tree. And as the mockingbird started to sing all the different songs of all the different birds, one after the other, I was just filled with an immense sense of wonder and joy at God in this bird. And it brought me a gladness that I was not used to. I'll give you another example. Jim Elliot, who was a missionary to South America, godly man, but he, like every man, has their weaknesses and faults, but he wrote journals, and his journals were compiled by his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, and you can get the journals of Jim Elliot. I highly recommend it for any man in this room, the journals of Jim Elliot. And I remember reading one entry that he had, and he would often write about what he was reading in the Bible, and there was this one time he had an entry where it just said, "The moon is round." And what does that mean, the moon is round? And Elizabeth Elliot put in a little commentary on what that meant. And she said that Jim Elliot would talk to me about this experience he had when he was going through a difficult time. He was going through a real troubling time. And she said that he went outside and he looked up in the night sky and he saw the moon. And the moon happened to be a little sliver in the sky. You see, there was just a little bit of light. But God shared to his heart in that scene, you may only see a little bit of light, but remember the moon is round. It's there. Even though you may not see it, it's there. And so it spoke to him that though the times may be difficult and may be dark and you may only see a sliver of God and you're wondering where is he, trust and believe the moon is round. God is there. The season will come when it will be seen. God reveals himself through his creation. Are your eyes open? Are our ears open to the glory of God in the world around us? Do you take time when you go about your day to think about everything that is around you is the handiwork of God? And you don't need to go to some state park to see it. Just look out your window. Everywhere you see, there is a creation. It points to the Creator. And God can share things with you through this creation in ways that you never would have thought of. Whether it's the simple thing of a little animal on the ground or it's the glorious thing of a storm in the sky, God reveals himself to you through his creation. And that is why I can't say it's sin. And I haven't thought about it too much to really put a final opinion on it, but I am very leery of this whole virtual reality thing. You know, you put on this goggle set and you're brought into a different virtual world where you can have meetings with people all over the world and this stuff. Because what's going on is you are separating yourself from the reality that God has placed you in, and placing yourself into an alternate reality that is not directly the creative act of God. It is indirectly through God by allowing mankind to make things. And all these distractions that we find ourselves in, we need to take a moment, open our eyes, and see the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech. What is it saying? Night unto night it reveals knowledge. What are you to know? There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Everybody is heard. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. Are you listening? This is how God reveals himself to you. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your glory of your creation. I pray that we would have ears to hear. I pray that we would be willing to know what you're saying about who you are, about what you're like. Thank you that you want to reveal yourself to us. Thank you that you want to have a relationship with us. And I pray, Father, as we come to the table, we would give glory to you for having revealed yourself through Christ, that we may know you and be saved. We praise you. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.